Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and I'm joined by Alex Brown for another edition of Wiretaps. And this is your Wiretaps podcast for Monday, January 20th, 2020. And Alex, welcome back. I hope you had a good week here. Things are going okay in England?
Yeah, very good. That you call it 2020. Is that what we're calling it now? That's pretty cool, 2020. Yeah.
I like it. You know, we have a clear view into this new year now, right? So I did want to mention today is Martin Luther King Day, which we celebrate in America. And so we're going to just dedicate this podcast to the incredible achievements of Dr. King. And I think, you know, his ability to kind of bridge communities is particularly impressive in today's kind of political climate. So there you go, Martin Luther King Day. And yeah, we're happy to have everyone on board. We're going to do a couple of ApplyWire profile reviews, as well as one particularly tricky DecisionWire review where someone's got to make a tough choice. Before we do that, our podcast sponsor is the evening and weekend program at the Kellogg School of Management. And I just want our listeners to know that you can reach your highest career goals while earning an MBA part-time. The evening and weekend MBA program at the Kellogg School of Management is conveniently located at their downtown Chicago campus, and it offers flexible study options to fit everyone's lifestyle and match your experience. And so by graduation from the program, you'll share the same toolkit, skills, and network as the school's most prominent alumni. And you can visit kellogg.northwestern.edu/EW to learn more. So thanks to Kellogg for their sponsorship. Alex, what's been going on? I mean, we had, the beginning of January was just filled with deadlines. This week, things are going to be quieter. There's only MIT, as far as I know, on the docket. But there's been some activity. I think you were mentioning there's been some kind of interview invitation activity already from some schools.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually. As you said, we've got Sloan's round two application coming up this week. And, you can debate the how smart that is to sort of separate a week or two away from the mad rush of all the applications, and that might yield for Sloan some additional applications for people that are feeling less rushed now, so that's very good for them. But then on the flip side, you've got Ross already releasing interview invites, so they're now ahead of the curve trying to sort of, I'm not saying yield candidates, but, the sooner you get them interviewed, the sooner you start making offers, the sooner you can start to sort of nurturing your class or whatever. So, the advantage for MIT is being a little bit later. The advantage for some other schools is to be able to get out the gate with interview invites and so forth. So we're going to see a lot more of that. We know Ross, the end of last week and second batch this week. We know Harvard has announced last week that it's going to release its invites, I think, in early February. And I just know that, in the next week or two, we're going to start seeing a lot of interview invites coming out on LiveWire.
Yeah, for sure. And we've seen some schools like Yale and Tepper and even a handful of others already getting those invites out, as you said, alongside Ross. So there's, people are getting interview invitations. We always encourage people to take a peek at the Clear Admit interview archive, where we have literally thousands of firsthand accounts of interviews and what questions were asked. So take a look there. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we published, since our last podcast, we published a report called the M7 LiveWire Insights Report. And this is the second report we've done like this. And this one is focused on round two candidates and, in essence, who gets interviews, who gets accepted to the M7 MBA programs, that being Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, Chicago, Kellogg, MIT, Columbia. So looking at like GMAT, GPA, GRE kind of averages and when interview invites come, when acceptances are reported. So really fun report. You can download it on our website. Encourage everyone to check that out. If you're a registered user on the site, which is free, the download's free as well. So easy to do. Alex, before we dive in, I wanted to mention that we got another review of the podcast over, I think, on iTunes. And so I thought you would appreciate it. The person who left the review, the username is BoBetty2013. And they said, weary at first, now a convert. So they mentioned that they'd heard about ClearMint from friends, but this person says, I was very skeptical of a site where people seem to just stress out about other statistics, apps, interviews, and decisions. But Alex and Graham do a nice job of talking about many different candidates from around the world. They provide helpful insights on school selection, and they don't sugarcoat. Now, one actually interesting piece of kind of advice or critique they gave us is they said, it seems like there's some similar patterns, high GMAT with low work experience or low GMAT with great experience. And this person says there seem to be fewer wiretaps with folks with GMAT scores between 700 and 740. So we might just keep that in mind. I guess they're kind of wanting to hear more from the kind of, you know, average folks more in the middle. So we can make sure to keep that in mind. But anyway, great to have that feedback. Love seeing the reviews. And so we'll dive in and do some wiretaps here in 1 second. The last thing I wanted to mention, so I'm actually in Philadelphia at ClearMint headquarters this week, and I'm with the team, and our resident data scientist, Alex Kelly, has asked me to mention our secret community that we're building on Facebook called the ClearMint Boardroom, where our most dedicated kind of users and listeners to the podcast can chime in and give us feedback on new features and things that we're thinking of doing. And so if you're interested in joining the ClearMint Boardroom, all you have to do is follow the link to, let's see, you're going to go to bit.ly/ClearMint Boardroom. And so it's just bit.ly/ClearMint Boardroom. That's all lowercase. So check it out. We're basically creating a community. You'll get some perks, and we're going to ask you some questions. But check it out if you can. So that's the news. I guess we can dive in, Alex, unless you had anything that you wanted to tackle today.
No, I just thought it was really interesting that after last week's podcast, we had actually a few people sign into the boardroom. And we didn't mention it till the end of the podcast, Graham. So that means there are a few people that actually do listen all the way through.
Yeah, or maybe they fell asleep and they woke up at the end just in time, you know, to hear. But no, in all seriousness, yeah, I was really happy to see that. And that's why we're making this call for folks. We'd love to get a few more of you into the boardroom. And we're just going to kind of float new features by you, things we're thinking of doing with the website and the podcast. So
along those lines, hopefully some folks have seen some of the features we've been slowly rolling out on the different wires. I won't go into a lot of the detail now, but hopefully the, you know, Live Wire, Decision Wire, and Apply Wire are becoming more sort of engaging with the likes features and different sorting and search features that we've rolled out. So yeah, no, it's all really interesting stuff, and we get a lot of feedback from candidates to help us develop this stuff.
Now, sometimes I wonder if you're bringing that up because you happen to have the most likes earned on the website right now. You're kind of leading the way. So people, now you can keep track of how many likes you've earned for good comments you make. But
it's like Reddit karma points.
That's right.
Which I do okay on also. I'm quite impressed with myself right now.
So let's dive in. I did want to apologize to everyone. I know my voice is going. Because I'm at headquarters in Philly, had to take a plane. I always seem to get a cold after all this travel. So, but it is great to be in Philly. It is sunny, so it seems to always be sunny in Philadelphia, as they say. But let's dive in and talk about Wiretap's candidate number one. So this candidate is an ApplyWire post, and they are applying to Carnegie Mellon, Duke, UCLA, UVA Darden, and Vanderbilt Owen, and they don't intend to start business school until 2021. They're currently working as a software developer / consultant, and they want to kind of do something in consulting or tech after business school. The GMAT score is 670, and the GPA is 3.78. This person currently has about 2.5 years of work experience, but they're claiming it'll be almost 4 by the time they apply, and closer to 5 when they matriculate. They're located in Tennessee, and they're wondering specifically about that GMAT score. And they offered some other, you know, details about, you know, what they're doing in their spare time. You know, they're doing some tutoring online for college students, and they run marathons, they climb mountains. So they're kind of an active person. I believe it's a male, right? White male. So Alex, what did you say to this person? Because I know they were asking in particular about the GMAT score. And just for our, you know, listeners' benefit, if memory serves, yeah, they have kind of a low, I mean, it's you know, below average at most of the schools on their list. So, but what did you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, this ApplyWire entry came in the night before we were recording. And usually I don't select ApplyWire entries that quickly. I like to see if they actually engage on ApplyWire and answer our comments before I think it makes sense to do this. But when I read this, I'm like, oh, this guy, there is certain things they absolutely must do, and maybe we should just talk about it directly on wiretaps to make it very clear. And the point here is this person is in a great spot. They're planning to apply next season. So, you know, ApplyWire right now and wiretaps is really well geared now for people looking forward in the application process. You know, obviously round twos are in the mix now for this season, and, you know, we'll have a few applicants for round three. That would be great. But those thinking ahead for next season, that's absolutely fantastic. And that's what ApplyWire can be really useful for. This candidate got a 670 and has a 378 GPA. So, you know, getting a 378 GPA makes me think, well, the candidate's probably pretty smart and at least academically motivated. So that side of it's very good. But posed the question, should I retake the GMAT? And my very frank and forthright answer is, if you can squeeze more points out of that by more studying and preparation, then it would be ridiculous not to think that that's the right thing to do. You've got a year or, you know, a good amount of time in order to accomplish this. And to go into the application process with the slightest hesitancy that you're not applying with your best profile will compromise your opportunity to get into the best schools that you possibly can. So to me, it's a no-brainer to take the step and you know, really try to prep again, at least go at it one more time to see if there's improvement there. The candidate did actually get back to me after I posted earlier this morning, and so that was very good. But I offered a couple of other pieces of advice, and this is in general to everybody that's now thinking again a year ahead. At work, seek out opportunities that really challenge you. If you know you're going to be applying to business school, you know you've got to write these essays in 6 months' time. You've got to really build up your profile to the extent that you can. Rather than waiting for opportunities to come your way, go see your supervisor. See what assignments that you can get. Go take on a challenge that you wouldn't have ordinarily done. So that's one piece of it. And then in the extracurricular side, do something bold and unusual. I mean, this person, they're a marathon runner, they're a climber, they've done some tutorial and teaching online in terms of their ECs. If they're truly passionate about mountain climbing, then go set up a mountain climb for inner city kids or something. I mean, that might be an extreme example or an extreme case of doing something interesting, but again, you have time to really show who you are in the application process by taking bold steps now that can really pay dividends for the application season next season. So that was my advice, Graham.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, really thorough, good advice. I absolutely agree that this person, like, it's kind of a no-brainer. Retake the GMAT, boost the score. It may end up opening up a whole different grouping of schools for them to target. The only thing I would say is they're working in kind of tech as a software developer / consultant, right? And so one of the things I was kind of worried about is, or just want to give them kind of some advice around, is be careful to speak about that work in a way that emphasizes the kind of strategic side and the consulting side and the kind of business aspects, as opposed to getting down and dirty with the, you know, the coding and the jargon of kind of software development that could end up, you know, A, losing your reader if you're writing an essay for an admissions officer, or B, just sort of painting you as kind of someone who's good with computers, not with people, Right. So just be careful about that. Obviously, plenty of time. Sounds like he's working on some interesting projects. But yeah, I think enough said on this one. I mean, obviously, it's great that he has the time to work on the test score and everything, to, you know, school selection, extracurriculars, get everything in a row for a great application when he applies.
And I think actually that mountain climbing side of what he does is a great way to differentiate himself from other sort of more techie, geeky type folks. I mean, I love geeks, so don't get me wrong. But I mean, mountain climbing is all about teamwork, I imagine, right? You've got to rely on other people, otherwise you're going to fall off a cliff.
Right.
So I think there's some really interesting stuff that you could sort of use the mountain climbing as a sort of lens into other aspects of your candidacy.
Sure. Yeah, or at least it's an interesting mix of solitary activity with reliance on teams, right? Because, you know, there is the part, yeah. So, but either way, yeah, there's an opportunity there. And I agree that, yeah, you don't think mountain climber when you think computer programmer sometimes. And so that'd be an interesting, you know, kind of mashup. So yeah, whatever, you know, whatever he can do to bolster his profile and make it shine.
I like that mashup. Now you're getting geeky.
All right, so let's move on and talk about Wiretaps candidate number two. So this person is applying to Columbia, Harvard Business School, NYU Stern, and Wharton. And they want to start next fall. They say that their pre-MBA career has been in private equity, and that's where they kind of want to stay post-MBA. But we'll get into some more detail around that in a moment. Their GMAT score is a 670, and their GPA is a 3.1. 6 years of work experience, and they did share that the breakdown on the GMAT, they gave us the kind of hard score in terms of the quantitative and the verbal. I did them the service of converting it, or our listeners the service of converting it. They basically have a 60th percentile, sorry, on the math, and a 76th percentile on the verbal. So both of those kind of, you know, falling short basically. And they wanted to kind of get our take. They did have a really interesting kind of personal profile. They escaped civil war in what I would call a developing country. So they're first generation in the U.S., first generation to go to college or even high school. And you know, they've managed to get into finance. You know, overcome a lot of odds. And I think that, you know, they worked in the service industry to kind of pay for. I guess pay for school. So they've had a lot of you know, different ups and downs, and we're just kind of wondering about what we think of their background and whether or not the numbers are kind of a deal breaker. They did mention they're a U.S. citizen now as well. So Alex, what's your take on this candidate?
I would really love to know how this candidate got onto his current path of investment banking, then to venture capital, because clearly, you know, this person's faced some significant challenges through their life. Obviously, coming from a war-torn country, coming to the States, having to work service jobs, obviously bootstrapping their way through college as a first gen for basically everything in their family. So there must be a really interesting story. How do you get from sort of working in service industry to working in an investment bank? And it can't be because they have such a stellar GPA, because that's not the case. And clearly the GPA was, I assume, effectively compromised by the fact that they had to work 20 or 30 hours a week to pay for their college, as well as being first gen, so not really having the sort of the mentor structures in place, beginning college and that kind of stuff. So, it's, you know, and the person's now working in private equity. I mean, this is an industry that very few MBA grads get the opportunity to go into. You know, their career seems like it would be a very interesting story. And that side of their application, I would imagine, is super competitive. Their sort of whole evolution. But they're going to be, you know, compromised significantly by the combination of the 670 GMAT and the 3.1 GPA. And they've taken the GMAT, I think, several times. I think I remember.
Right, because they said they maxed it out in the 12 months. So you have a certain number that you can take in a given year. So they've taken it a lot, which is a little bit concerning to me, but I guess they're working on taking the GRE now, they said, to try to get a different, you know, different metric to share.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really tough candidate to assess. Again, because I think the personal story is fantastic to get them to where they are. They want to switch from, you know, VC fund focusing on African Americans to VC funds focusing on emerging markets, which I guess might parlay them back to the country or the countries from where they're from. And so forth. Their extracurriculars look decent. And yeah, just a really interesting candidate, but they're going to be held back by these numbers, Graham.
I was going to say, I guess we're going to find out very soon as to whether they got an interview at HBS or any of the schools. I mean, most of these schools, the only one is NYU, takes a little bit longer to get word out. But yeah, they aimed, you know, high at a lot of top schools. And so they're going to get some pretty quick feedback. HBS is delivering all their interview invitations on February 4th. And so, you know, I think we'll get a sense. I agree with you. The story is compelling, right? Fleeing a war-torn country, being the first in your family to, you know, come to the U.S., get a high school degree, get a college degree. You know, it's really impressive. So there's a story here. I just worry that they just might have trouble convincing the admissions committee that they have the academic chops to excel in business school. And, you know, I understand what happened with the GPA, but, you know, there are kids who have a 3.5 and work 20 hours, 30 hours a week. So it's tricky. I think they would need for the admissions team to sort of take a leap of faith on them. And, you know, I would argue that if it doesn't work out this year, they should absolutely apply again, and they should cast probably a slightly wider net, because the truth is that, you know, there are any number of schools in the top 20 that could probably help this person. I mean, obviously, if they want to do private equity, the list gets a little more narrow. But I think that, you know, they could cast a little bit wider of a net if, you know, unless maybe they're able to get their score up and it becomes moot and they can just focus again on the very top schools. But in any event, interesting, compelling background story. But yeah, I'll be curious. And it'd be great if they could update us here in the comments on their ApplyWire post as to how things unfold. That would be useful. We can give them some more advice.
If they do reapply next season, Graham, what other steps would you encourage them to take?
So clearly, yeah, addressing the test score is the first one, right? I almost wonder if taking a class or two, you know, evenings online, whatever, just to get a couple of A's in business school friendly sort of subject matter, whether it's accounting, stats, you know, micro or macro, or, you know, some of the building block type courses, that could go a long way. I think those are two things. It's really the academic profile that needs to be bolstered, and the admissions team just needs to be assured that this person's going to do well in school. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and assured on the very two broad points, right? That the student is academically motivated as well as academically strong. So I think your point that taking a couple of classes, you know, over the next year, if they do need to reapply, is a very good point. And obviously the challenge with this candidate is, you know, because of their goals and their work experience, they can, you know, they've really got to be targeting some of the better top schools to provide opportunities for what they want to do. So that's a definite challenge that they're facing. But yeah, I completely agree. Ace the GRE and take a couple of classes. Don't just focus on getting a higher test score.
Right. And one last thing about this person, they mentioned in their comments, they said, I didn't really think I needed a college degree. They're talking about when they were in school, and they said that was really stupid of me, but I looked to get passing grades rather than excelling. And I would just say, you know, the danger with this is that someone could say, oh, you know, once you get to business school, well, you don't really have to do well, you just need to get the degree on your resume and then you can go out and get a great job. And so that would be a dangerous line of reasoning to follow. So I think if they're asked about the GPA, I would just say, I was the first in my family to go to college. I didn't really know, you know, what it was going to entail. And I had to work 30 hours a week to pay for it. And I was underwater, you know, and I did the best I could, and it wasn't that great, you know, but I regret, you know, not being able to do better. But, you know, I've done well in my career and I'm ready to really study and get good grades. So I think they just need to make sure they're framing that argument in an appropriate way.
That makes perfect sense to me.
All right. So let's move on. to a Decision Wire entry. So this is Wiretaps candidate number 3. So this person has not decided where they're going to go to business school, but they are in the very fortunate position of having offers from Chicago Booth, LBS, that's London Business School, and Wharton. And there's actually some money involved. So Chicago Booth has given them a scholarship of $150,000, which effectively amounts to a free ride, I believe. London Business School, no scholarship, and Wharton, or none yet, I think maybe they announce later. Wharton, it's $60,000. And actually the degree that they've been accepted for at Wharton is not only the MBA, but it's the Wharton Lauder program. So they get a master's and an MBA. And it's the program that focuses on kind of international business and language. So that's kind of where they sit. They're starting next fall, obviously, and they have a GMAT of 750. Their GPA was 3.5. And effectively, as they describe it, they're debating this kind of full tuition scholarship at Booth versus a smaller fellowship at Wharton Lauder, which essentially just covers the Lauder degree, because you have to pay to, you know, it's a double degree, joint degree, right? So they want to get into working in startups or venture capital in Asia, and they know that Lauder is actually a really good fit for that. And they also mentioned that the Wharton has a better brand recognition in Asia, but they do love everything about Booth, and the full ride is hard to turn down. So what do you make of this one, Alex? This is not easy.
Not easy indeed. I mean, you could make a very compelling argument for Booth. They want to go into startups after their MBA. If you can get a free ride, come out debt-free or close to debt-free, that's going to give you more flexibility and freedom to pursue startup activity. And then on the other side, you know, they want to do all this in Asia and the brand and the network and so on and so forth of Wharton and Wharton Lauder is going to be stronger. I mean, let's be frank. So you want to participate in that part of the world and you know, being in the startup ecosystem and you know, startup, venture capital, whatever it is, it's network driven. So this is, I think, a huge, huge conundrum.
Yeah, yes. I mean, let's look at it this way. So one thing I don't really have a full understanding of, and maybe, you know, you had a little more back and forth with this candidate on the site, but are they looking to kind of write a business plan and start their own company at a business school? Are they kind of looking for a early stage, you know, kind of startup that maybe just got some financing that would need an MBA to come on board? Because I think those are two really different things.
I agree with you. I don't know that we know that. We haven't gotten into that conversation, but I absolutely agree. I think if they're looking to start their own business, then Booth becomes a little bit more interesting in terms of being able to do it with debt-free and having the freedom to do that, versus if they're looking to work in a startup ecosystem at a business that's already established and so on and so forth, then clearly they're going to get paid to do that and you know, the dynamics are going to be significantly different.
I want to lay out a case for Wharton Lauder because, and you know, full disclosure, I think most people listening know, you know, I went to Wharton. I didn't do the Lauder program. Alex worked in admissions at Wharton, so did I. So we're you know, we like Wharton. We were affiliated to the school in many ways, but
and we don't like Booth.
No, I.
Oh, I'm kidding.
I love Booth actually. Yeah, I think Booth. Yeah. I mean, what's fascinating to me is over my fairly long, I guess, tenure in this industry at this point, Booth has really done some amazing things. You know, I mean, they're a top five school now. That was not the case when I first kind of came into this industry. So we love Booth too. But one of the things I was thinking about with respect to this candidate is the structure of the Lauder program and the Wharton exchange opportunities. And specifically what I mean is that Lauder students come to campus, I believe in May, and they do a bunch of courses on campus in a small group of a cohort of about 50 or 60 kids. And then they go off to their market of choice. So this person's, you know, they're going to pick an Asian language. I assume they're going to go to Asia. And you do like kind of a sort of a study tour. There might even be a part of it might be internship. But you're overseas in your market of interest for, I want to say, at least 6 weeks, maybe even a bit longer. And then you come back and you start business school with everyone else who's showing up for preterm in the summer and stuff. So you could picture this candidate getting his or her feet on the ground in Asia right away via that Lauder overseas experience. Then once they start Wharton and are, you know, doing the two degrees side by side, at some point they might be able to go and take part in the Wharton INSEAD exchange, which I believe would allow them to go either to France, which would be not of interest in this case, or to Singapore, which clearly could be of interest. And so that alliance between Wharton and INSEAD could play a role in this candidate's ability to kind of network and really benefit, not just from Wharton's overall global network, but even from, you know, the ability to get on the ground in Asia as they're earning their MBA. So I just mentioned that because that's worth something. And I do agree, for one reason or another, Wharton has this great reputation in Asia, and a really large alumni, you know, kind of group in that part of the world. I think, you know, the only other school that sort of comes close is probably Harvard when it comes to the sort of just the scope of the global network. You know, Stanford doesn't graduate as many kids each year, and many of them, you know, historically there's been a, you know, they gravitate towards the Bay Area. So there's, I think Wharton and Harvard have this sort of edge in global network, particularly in far-flung, you know, parts of the world. So I don't know if you agree with that, but I just wanted to mention that because I think that's the case for taking the Wharton Lauder offer. Obviously, if they're starting their own business, writing a business plan in school, and they love Booth, then there's a great case for going to Booth, right? So it just depends. But I think one could say that if they're going to work in a startup that's funded, they're going to get a salary, they're going to eventually move into VC, this difference of 100 grand is not going to play out over the long haul if they're, you know, if they're successful, as I expect, you know, they will be. So that's my take on it. What do you think?
No, I completely agree. And obviously, we have a much more sort of intimate experience with what Wharton and Wharton Lauder can offer a candidate. There are going to be programs that Booth can offer that can get the candidate over into Asia at some point during their MBA. Absolutely no doubt. So I don't think we're saying that only Wharton and Wharton Lauder can do that for the candidate. But nonetheless, what Wharton and Wharton Lauder can do for the candidate is very substantial. So, yeah, no, I would completely agree. The only thing that's sort of pulling me back a little bit is going into the process, this candidate absolutely loved everything about Booth. And, you know, one of our pieces of advice often is if that's the sentiment that you had going into the process for a particular school, you should stick to it regardless of the offers and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, frankly, if they could look at it money aside, and if you're going into VC and so on and so forth, you're going to be financially rewarded pretty heavily through your career, then I think Wharton would be your choice.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point. Obviously, Booth has exchange opportunities too, and I didn't mean to imply that they couldn't get over to Asia as part of their experience. I also think, you know, yeah, one of the things that we've said over and over again on this podcast is that if you're your sentiment could change as you travel through, but that keeping an eye on where you feel at home is important because this is 2 years of your life. I think people often like really discount that and they're sort of like, oh, I'll just suck it up and be unhappy for 2 years. No, that's not the point. You're going to forge friendships. And, you know, if this person feels at home at Booth and really loves that community, and it's a free ride, like no one's going to fault them for going that route. And I think your advice that they go to the welcome events is good advice. I think spending some time on both campuses and meeting their fellow classmates would be instructive.
It's just a bit inconvenient that their welcome events are on the same weekend.
Oh, wait, are they? Is that true?
Yes. But unfortunately, that's the nature of this business because welcome events can only occur on a few weekends. So you're going to get multiple schools scheduling during the same weekend. So yeah, that is a bit unfortunate.
So, okay, big question here. You're accepted to two schools and you're leaning towards one of them. They both have welcome weekends on the same weekend. Which one do you go to if you can only go to one?
The one you're leaning toward, definitely.
Okay, interesting. So you don't think this person should go to the Wharton welcome to sort of see if they're going to miss out on something by because that, yeah, it's a really tough call, right? Or rent a helicopter. Right?
Well, I'm not saying they're leaning towards Chicago or Wharton. It's one or the other. They're definitely in between. But my sort of answer to that particular question is go to the welcome weekend that you think might have the edge, because you're going to meet other students, you maybe do some apartment hunting and various other things that are going to be important for actually attending. So a lot of people sort of tend to think, well, maybe I should check out the school that's number two on my list just to make sure that number one is correct. The problem with doing that is, just by being there, you might get overly excited about the number two school, put them at number one, lose some ground on the number one school, and then ultimately, when you make your choice, you haven't got your apartment set up and various other things. So, yeah, I always suggest to people, go to the school that's currently your number one.
Yeah, and I hate to say this, but sometimes I think the welcome weekends, just go for the food and free drinks, because frankly, like, they roll out the red carpet. Like, you could go to any welcome weekend and you're going to fall in love with the school, because they do such a great job. All these schools, I still remember the Wharton welcome weekend that I went to, and, you know, so it just, they rent out a great space and have all the students come in. I mean, it's just, you know, you get lectures from the best professors to sort of sample what it's all like. So it is, it's challenging, and encourage people to watch the, there's a video up on YouTube made by a bunch of, I want to say, I don't know if it's Harvard or Stanford students, called Admit Weekend Crashers. And it's about these two guys that basically go from one admit weekend to the other. I think they rent a helicopter to do so. And they they haven't been admitted to any of these schools, mind you. They're just going for the parties and to check it out, because they really are fun. So I think, yeah, that's the danger here is, you know, you just, like you said, if you go to the one, whichever one you go to, you're likely to come out of thinking, oh, that's a great school, right? So... but anyway, interesting case here. I did want to mention, I don't know, I feel like London Business School is a school that gives out scholarships later, so there may be one coming, but it sounds like this candidate sort of already decided that it's between Booth and Wharton, so we didn't dwell too much on LBS, and, you know, it's a tough call between the two that they're deciding between. But hopefully, you know, best of luck to them as they figure this out. And hopefully they can, again, leave a note, let us know what they decided in this decision wire entry. That would be great.
Very good.
So we've reached the end of this week's episode of Wiretaps, and I think my voice has reached the end of its ability to speak today. So good timing there. Alex, we'll be back next week to do another one of these. Any closing remarks as we get into kind of big time interview season for round two candidates? And
No, other than I'm up to 86 likes on the wires, Graham, just to let you know.
Oh, no. How many of those likes have you actually given yourself? That's what I want to know. You know, whether
none.
Or not. I'm going to talk to the programmers, make sure that they're not allowing you to do that.
In fear that could be detected by our tech team, and I think that would be wrong.
No. Okay, well, yeah, obviously, Alex, you give such great advice. It's no surprise to me that people are rewarding you with likes. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. We will we'll be back in a week. And thanks so much, Alex, for picking out these great profiles. And don't forget to check out the ClearAdmit Boardroom. It's over at bit.ly/ClearAdmit Boardroom. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. Good luck, everyone. Cheers, Brian.